The following is an exclusive presentation of WI Garden Media, the voice of Garden Talk Radio. Coming up on the program today, do you have seedling problems from indoors to outdoors? We'll cover that, as well as uncommon vegetables that you can grow in your backyard. Our guest will be author Jen McGinnis, plus answering your garden questions. And that all starts right now.
You are listening to the most informationally packed hour of garden-focused radio in the country and on the internet with your host, husband and wife team Joey and Holly Baird. This is the Gardening with Joey and Holly radio show.
Welcome to the Gardening with Joey and Holly radio show. Thank you for being part of the program today. I am your host, Joey Baird. Beside me is my wife, co-host, best friend, and gardening partner,
Holly Baird.
This program is for you, about you, to help your garden grow better, to maintain your landscape, grow healthier trees, make your grass look greener, as well as canning what you grow. There's a couple of ways in which you can get a hold of us, but if you're listening to us from one of the 15 stations that's broadcasting our program here in 2021, whether you're listening through a radio app, the podcast replay, in-studio video replay, or other forms, thank you for being with us. You can find all of our content at our parent website, the WisconsinVegetableGardener.com, and you can see past shows under the season 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5 tab. You can get a hold of us by giving us an email, sending us an email at gardentalkradio@gmail.com. That email address is gardentalkradio@gmail.com. Or if you'd much rather talk with us, you can call us at 1-800-927-SHOW. That's 1-800-927-SHOW. Anytime, if we can't get you on the program, certainly leave a message and we will get back to you with the answer to your situation. Well, let's talk about situations people are having in their grow rooms and their gardens, Holly, and that is problems with their seedlings.
Yeah, seedlings are a nice way to start seeds for yourself.
Now, this is even if you're not starting the seeds indoors and you buy your plant starts, there's some seeds in which you have to start from seed outdoors, let's say like beans or potentially peas, radishes, carrots, those type of things. You're going to start from seed most of the time, and it's highly recommended to start those from seed.
Right, and that's exactly it. You can start them from seed, and then when you have these, hopefully you don't have these problems, but if you do, we're here to help. So one thing is are your seeds good? Do you have old seeds? So we've discovered, we did recently kind of a test, and seeds lose about 10% germination rate every year.
Right. And it's also determined on how you store the seeds in which you're trying to grow. If you keep them in a cool, dry place, crisper of a fridge, cool closet, not in the back seat of your car or in a sunny window, the longevity and the germination percentile will hold fairly decent. Now, obviously, it depends on the seed as well. Parsnips, carrots, leeks, typically 1 year, 2 years at the best, maybe three if everything's perfect, and that's about the end of that scenario. Tomato seeds, on the other hand, can be viable to a decent percentile if kept stored correctly, 5 to 9 years, 5 to 10 years, beans, 3 to 5 years, that type of thing. So it all determines the type of seed and how long and how you're storing it. Now, you can figure out if it's good or bad or the percentile. Holly, how does one do a germination test?
Sure. So you would just take your whatever seed you have, and you would take approximately 10 seeds, and you would just plant them in a cup or sour cream container, whatever you got.
Doesn't have to be fancy on this.
No, it doesn't have to be fancy. You plant them, and then you see what happens when they sprout. If all 10 out of 10 sprouts, that's good. If 11 out of 10 sprouts, you probably miscounted.
Yeah.
And then so on and so forth. So if none sprout, obviously you probably need new seeds.
Just dump those seeds in the bird feeder and move on with your life and get new seeds. Now let's be honest here. From Seed Savers Exchange, wherever you get your seeds from, very unlikely, it's not guaranteed that 100% of those seeds are going to germinate. There are, you know, there's times where even the seed pack will say germination rate 74% or 82% because of the type of seed. So just because you went and bought seeds from Seed Savers Exchange or your favorite seed store, that doesn't mean that you put 100 in, 100 is going to grow. So keep that in mind. Also now, let's talk about problems in the grow room. We had this question a couple of weeks ago about the seedlings, and this is we see this more problematic with brassica seedlings. They grow about 2, maybe 3 inches tall, and they fall over. And that's called dampening off. That is a problem that it's a fungal problem, and it can be caused by overwatering the seedlings. What happens is it basically rots at soil level and the plant falls over.
Right.
It's irreversible, so you want to moderate how much water you're giving them and don't let them set in water.
That's a big thing. I think sometimes people, especially if you're new, you might overwater your seedlings.
Because more water is good.
Right. More water is good. You're excited. You're like, I'm going to make these the best plants, and you think that more water is better. So one thing you can do to help dampening off is to make sure you are watering consistently and not overwatering. And then also using cinnamon.
Cinnamon has a antifungal properties in it, which will help fight off that dampening off issue, as well the fungal gnat situation that you may have in your grow room. Also,
so,
Rescue has a product, fungal gnats.
Yeah, it has a little trap
that you can put in around your grow room, and that has worked well for us.
When we say use cinnamon, what you're going to do is just take a sprinkle of cinnamon. You don't have to use fancy cinnamon. You can use the cheap stuff. You sprinkle around the base of each plant, just over the little grow area, whatever you want to call it, and then you will help prevent the fungus gnats and also the dampening off.
Yeah, and that works very, very well in the keeping the fixing two problems, the fungal gnats and then the dampening off issue. Now, also, temperature is a key in which seeds need a certain parameter for them to germinate. Obviously, seeds are not going to germinate when it's super cold because by nature, if the radish pods fall off the plant or tomato falls off the plant, in nature, it's going to set there and go into a dormancy until the temperatures warm up again the next following spring, and then it will germinate when the time is correct. So even in the grow room, even in your grow area, if the temperatures are too cold, like you're in an unclimatized basement, garage, shed, foyer, whatever you want to call
it. Even a drafty room.
If it's too cold, for example, pepper seeds need about 85 degrees soil temperature for them to germinate. It can be problems to get those to germinate if you're not using heat mat, if it's not adequately warm enough for them. You may get a few stragglers to come up if it's 70 or 75, but boy, when you hit that 85 degree mark, those peppers really germinate very, very well with that. Another problem that you will only see, go ahead.
I was just going to talk about legginess.
Yes, yeah. Another problem you're only going to see inside is a term called legginess.
Sure. So legginess is when your plant is very tall and not very bushy. So it's what happens is the plant decides that it's going to grow towards a light source, and it grows this slim, long seedling, and that's what legginess is. And there's no way to bounce back from legginess. So unless you start more seeds,
right?
That's the only way.
Pepper or tomatoes, you can plant them a little deeper because that's the only one that would benefit. Not necessarily purposely from it, but as a result of.
Right. But otherwise, anything else is not going to have any success. So what you want to do is you want to think about your light source and have it be as close to the plant as possible. Or if you use something like the Happy Leaf LED, you don't have to worry about that because of the broad spectrum LED. It helps prevent that legginess.
With the fruit flies or the soil gnats, it's called fruit fly trap from Rescue. It works very, very well. We're using it in our growing room with very good success. Now, let's say you got your seedlings outside. You've planted them directly from seed, or you put a transplant in the ground, and they become yellow or white or brownish. What's going on there?
Yellow, white, or brownish could be overwatering.
Mm-hmm.
Or
not necessarily your fault.
Right, because it got rainy or something.
Right.
Yeah. Otherwise, it could be fertilizer burn. And this can happen a lot of times. Another maybe newbie mistake is if fertilizer is good, more is better.
And this happens more on the spectrum of synthetic fertilizers rather than organic fertilizers, because in most aspects, if you over-fertilize with a organic fertilizer, there can be some potential burn, but most times the plant's only going to pick up the nutrients in which it needs. With a synthetic fertilizer and in a liquid form, it's going to suck up everything it possibly can in order to, because that's just the nature of it. So fertilizer burn is something. Now, overwatering, there's not much we can do if it's naturally caused overwatering. You just have to kind of let the system run through, and then you could supplement with a organic, like a compost tea, in order to remineralize and neutrify the soil in order to try to get some of that uptake to back into the soil. Because even in the ground, in raised beds, good nutrient-rich soil, if it rains too much, there's going to be a leaching effect that occurs that can show these symptoms.
Right, definitely. You're going to have that those nutrients wash away. Essentially, a tip on fertilizing is definitely follow the directions on the package, and
that's why they're there.
Right, that's why they're there, and they all vary. Just because you use one cup of one brand doesn't mean you need to use one cup of everything in that one brand.
Right, and from the same brand, from bag to bag,
yeah,
it's very different.
And another thing is you can start with less, and then you can increase. So this is your first time using a fertilizer, and you can follow the directions, and you should, but maybe back it off a bit if you're not sure.
Your seeds aren't there whenever you, after you've planted them, let's say like corn, for example. You may have squirrels or birds come in and pull them out of the ground.
Chipmunks. All sorts of animals will dig
up
seeds.
If you're out in the country, wild turkeys will do this. Will go through and peck. You know, I've heard stories of farmers and the turkeys just go right behind. And even though in the big ag industry, they treat this corn with a chemical powder in which will help prevent animals from eating it, a turkey has to eat about 25 pounds of this toxic corn coating in order for it to have any real effect to
it.
Right. So there's a couple of things in which you can do in this aspect. You can take and cover them with a row cover. A light floating row cover, weight it down. It's not going to inhibit the growth of the plants at all. You could also like layer over a piece of chicken wire type of thing and arch it over just enough in order to get these plants up and established. And if you're having birds come in and eat these things up, install a couple of bird feeders and let them feed off the bird feeders rather than the plants in which you're trying to grow. So some things in which hopefully you're not going to have issues with, but if you do or might, you will know now what to do with such issues with your seedlings, whether indoors and out. Speaking of doing things indoors and out, whether you're a hunter, whether you're a farmer, whether you are anywhere in between and you either process your own animals or you're looking for good seasonings and tools in which to prepare meat that has been processed for you, Walton's has all of that but the meat. And they can supply all your needs. And they got some really good seasonings, too.
Right. And they also have what's called meatjustics.com to help educate you on the hows and whys of meat processing, as well as a community of over 15,000 users will help give their opinion and guidance on meat processing issues. So if you want to get into meat processing, you don't know where to start, you can go to meatjustics.com. Also, you know, we know that you care about where your food comes from. And you can preserve your fruits and vegetables. But with the meat, you can go to Waltons.com and you get all the equipment, seasoning, and supplies to make sausage, jerky, any other meat product your way, even burgers, all sorts of. For the vegetables, there's all sorts of spices, spice combinations. So definitely check that out. That's Waltons.com or Waltonsinc.com. And then for that meat processing help is meatjustics.com.
When we come back, it's going to be uncommon vegetables that, yes, you can grow in your backyard. You're listening to the Gardening with Joey Holly radio show.
Got a question for Joey and Holly? Send it via email anytime to gardentalkradio@gmail.com.
We here at the Gardening with Joey and Holly radio show Gardens understand that healthy soil is the key to a successful garden. We know that chemical fertilizer burns carbon out of the soil and kills the microbes needed for a healthy soil ecosystem. No worries. Chicken Soup for the Soil by Dr. Jims will stimulate life into your soil, supplying all the nutrients most fertilizers neglect. Rather than force feeding water-soluble chemical fertilizer, we suggest feeding the microbes a smorgasbord of 100% biodegradable nutrients that your plants can consume when they need them. The nutrients are readily available to maximize their genetic potential. Chicken Soup for the Soil will increase the quality of the fruit and vegetables you grow. Visit drjims.com. That's drjims.com.
Have essential oils always confused you like they did me? Take out some of the guesswork with Simply Earth. The Simply Earth Essential Oil Recipe Box will help you gain confidence and clarity in using essential oils to help make your home toxin-free. Here's how it works. You receive the recipe box with 4 pure essential oils, 6 recipe cards, and extras. Then you learn how to use your essential oils while making the recipes created by certified aromatherapists. Clear and concise step-by-step directions. Save money and detoxify your life. I got to make fun products that will detoxify my home while also learning safe ways to use my essential oils. The best part is these oils don't break my budget. Simply Earth's essential oils are 100% pure and come from the best farms from all over the world. Using essential oils to support your wellness doesn't have to be overwhelming. My home is one step closer to being toxin-free because I made the wax melts and more with the Simply Earth Essential Oil Recipe Box. Visit simplyearth.com to find your recipe box and more.
Seed Savers Exchange has been saving, preserving, and sharing heirloom seeds since 1975, and today continues to provide those seeds for gardeners just like you. They have over 600 varieties. Visit seedsavers.org to request a free catalog or to purchase seeds online for this year's growing season. That's seedsavers.org. Brought to you by Blue Ribbon Organics, providing locally made organic compost and soil blends for gardens, farms, landscaping, and more. Visit BlueRibbonOrganics.com or call 262-497-8539 to find their products nearest you. The Water Hoop is a portable water sprinkler system that allows you to target water evenly around the root ball of your tree or bush. Conforms to various shapes for your watering needs. The Water Hoop reduces runoff and saves money. Visit waterhoop.com.
Did you know that all flour is not created equal? Janie's Mill carefully stone grinds all their certified organic wheat, rye, corn, buckwheat, and heirloom and ancient grains so that you get every bit of taste and nutrition nature intended. Some flours really are better than others, and you deserve the best. Get it at janiesmill.com.
You move your lawn sprinklers all over the yard, but you always end up putting them in the same spots. Why not just bury them there? Out of sight, always ready to use, pre-adjusted to water the precise areas you want. Quick Snap Sprinklers makes it easy. In-ground sprinklers without the hassle or expense of laying pipe. Put the sprinklers anywhere in your lawn or garden. Snap on a hose to supply the water. Water on, it pops up. Water off, it drops below ground. You can mow right over it. You can have a buried sprinkler system up and running in just minutes. Each Quick Snap saves thousands of dollars. They install in minutes and operate for years. Visit quicksnapsprinkler.com. The Gardening with Joey and Holly radio show is brought to you by the following: Simply Earth, Seed Savers Exchange, Quick Snap Sprinklers, Water Hoop, Timber Pro Coatings, Bloomin' Easy Plants, Pomona Universal Pectin, Ivy Organics, Tiger Torch, Happy Leaf LED, Seedlink. Find all sponsors at thewisconsinvegetablegardener.com and thank them for their support. Welcome back to the Gardening with Joey and Holly radio show. Thank you for being with us today. Hope your day is going well. Well, your plants can be happier with you if you water them correctly, and a device in which you can use is the tree diaper.
Yeah, tree diaper is a revolutionary watering system that slowly releases water around the base of any tree or plant as the soil dries. The tree diaper is filled with water from rain and when you water, and slowly releases water over 3 weeks. Every time it rains, the tree diaper recharges. No pipes, hoses, or electricity needed. Water your plants and trees, whether they're by the house, down the road, or in the back 40. Also works under mulch. Whether you're a first-time gardener or advanced, tree diaper will improve the way you water your plants. Made in the USA, check out all the sizes they have available. Treediaper.com, that's treediaper.com.
Everybody knows, you know, when you say what's in a garden, tomatoes, peppers, potatoes, beans. However, there are many, many different and uncommon vegetables in which one can grow in their garden, whether in containers in the backyard or the front yard. We're going to go over a handful of them that we have grown and grown successfully, and many of them in which we still grow year after year.
I have to argue one of these, by the way.
Okay, I think the one is going to be celery.
No.
Okay.
We'll get there.
Okay. So let's start with a very uncommon one, which we have kind of brought to light and several other YouTubers have brought to light, is called yacons.
I'd say probably about 10 years ago it was very uncommon.
Yeah. Y-A-C-O-N is the singular term. And this is a root crop from South America. We got our starts from a nursery up in the Oregon, Central Oregon area, but in 2014, they no longer sell those yacon starts. And we've saved the rhizomes year after year. Now, it's taken many years in order to learn about this plant in the way in which we have. We have many videos on our YouTube channel and then also our website, thewisconsinvegetablegardener.com. Just search yacon and you'll see all of those. And it's a root crop that...
To me, it's like a less starchy potato.
Mm-hmm.
Some people say
watery.
Watery. Some people say it has a sweet flavor. To me, it just tastes like a... less starchy potato.
It depends on, you know, who's tasting it. It's a watermelon apple cross taste. You know, to me, it's a very watery potato. It's a little sweet. It looks like sweet potatoes when you dig them up in the fall.
It's kind of fun.
You plant them at the time. You treat them just like you would tomatoes. They're frost tender in the spring. And however, you can let them grow all the way till the first frost, which will kill the vertical, the above ground growth, and then you harvest the tubers. You dig them up, and then you harvest the tubers, and you save the rhizomes in sand, and we keep them in our stairwell, the attic, where it keeps it very chilled, but never frozen. And that's how we are able to carry on year after year. You start your rhizomes about 90 days before you intend to put them in the ground, and we just start them in party cups, and then we can transfer them over in the ground very easily. They get 4 to 6 feet tall. Here in southeast Wisconsin, where we're located, they will grow and produce about 3 to 5 pounds per plant. Now in South America, where it's much more a long growth season, they can be 15 to 30 pounds per plant. And if they are grown for 6 months, they will produce a flower. However, we've gotten about 5.5 months in 2016. We had a tremendously long season, but we never did. And that year, we got almost 7 pounds average of plant. So it worked
out
really
well. Yeah, that was crazy. We were harvesting stuff out of the garden like right before Thanksgiving.
So you can find yacon plants online. You have to do a little research. You can potentially find the rhizomes. But right now, I think probably the plant starts is going to be your best bet if you want to go that route. Something that is more common, easier to get a hold of, is the next one on our list.
Yeah, the Jerusalem artichoke, also known as a sunchoke or the sunroot or the earth apple. And it's part of the sunflower family, and it's native to Central North America. It's a perennial, which means it comes back year after year. It's one of the few perennial vegetables out there, and it can be semi-invasive. It does spread a little bit, not insane, but it does spread a little bit. And they're fun to grow. They grow this huge, long, not a huge flower, but a long stalk,
eight to 12 feet tall.
Yeah, and then it grows pretty flowers, kind of like yellowy flowers. And they are a root vegetable. They are also like a more earthy, watery potato.
Mm-hmm. And they will produce about 5 to 8 pounds per plant, anywhere from the size of a tiny marble to almost a baseball, tennis ball, baseball to a root that you eat. And you can, and we'll go back to what we do with the yacons because we forgot to cover what you do with them. The Jerusalem artichokes, what we have found is we can put them in stews, soups, roast, and they get a very buttery taste to them. Also, now I have found that you can peel them and put them in like a casserole, and they really the skin seems to have a very tart taste or earthy taste to it. Once you remove that skin, it's almost indistinguishable to a potato.
We made like hash browns.
We've made hash browns. We have tried to pickle them. We've done many different things with them. We now have also found you take them, clean them up, leave the skin on them, and we're going to try this without the skin. Chop them into thin chip-like pieces, coat them with olive oil, put them in the air fryer for about 5 to 10 minutes until they're crisp, and they are very close to French fries. So we can do that. We're going to try it without the skin. I think you'll like it much, much more without the skin than with the skin.
I'm being a doubter over here. Yakons.
Yeah, let's go back to what you do with the yakons.
You can do pretty much, I think, anything you want to do with a potato. And then we also made a yakon pie.
That didn't turn out so well. but I found that you dehydrate them in chip form. Incredibly delicious. You have to peel them first.
Okay.
The skin has that texture, that really earthy dirt flavor. Even if you scrub it off, you take that skin off, works really well. We also have blanched them and freeze them. And whatever you can do, like if you're making an apple pie, you take a quarter of the apples, and or you put, you know, if it takes 4 cups of apples, I'm just picking a number, you do 3 cups of apples and 1 cup of yakons, and that yakon will absorb the cinnamon flavor and the apples, and you won't know that you had put yakons in there. So there's many different things in which you can do the yakon, extending your palate, and you can also bake them in the crock pot for 8 hours like you would a baked potato. Best thing you ever did eat. Okay. Best thing you ever did eat. Okay, akkas. We tried this a couple of years. It worked very well. However, the life of the growing time is incredibly long. You start the tubers. They're little bright pink, yellow, white, blue, black.
They're pretty.
About the size of.
I don't remember what they tasted like though.
They were very sweet.
Oh yeah, they were really sweet.
They're about the size of, I would say, like a double A battery. It's kind of what you're looking at the roots being at planting. Yeah. And then you plant them at the same time you would typically the potatoes in your area, and you let them grow all the way to frost. And they say from the night that it frost the first time, they almost double in size the next day underground. Well, for us, you have to kind of keep them alive, and we harvest in the first week in December. Now, if you're anywhere in the northern portions of the United States, you know the first week in December can be very iffy, whether you have a foot of snow on the ground or you have 80-degree temperatures.
I want to say 80, but yeah.
Warm. The likelihood of snow is much, much more higher than anything else. But explain what the description of an akka is.
So with its distinctive leaf shape, it's easy to recognize the akka as a member of the wood sorrel family. The leaves can be eaten in moderation. Akka tubers are rich in vitamin C. They can be eaten raw or cooked or exactly the same way as a potato. And you plant them in the spring, and the tubers form in early fall. So it is a spring to fall vegetable.
Right. So those are a little harder to get a hold of, though there's a lot of videos online. We've got a couple of videos online in our platforms. It's something that if you are, you know, if you've got the time and you can really, you know, protect these later on in the season from those heavy, heavy snows that some of us get in those time frames, it would be something to look forward to. Now, the next thing is anybody.
This is the one.
This is the one that you're. Yeah. Questioning.
No, I'm not questioning it. It depends on your region.
Okay.
But it's kohlrabi.
Uh-huh.
And kohlrabi is part of the kohl family, which is part of the brassica family. Mm-hmm. And it's related to like cauliflower, broccoli.
Cauliflower, Brussels sprouts,
all of that. Cabbage. Probably, I would say it's close to cabbage in the taste.
Yeah.
But a lot of German people in the region here in Wisconsin, they like kohlrabi, and they're familiar with kohlrabi. And I've had coworkers who are like, "Do you have any extra kohlrabi? Can you bring me some kohlrabi?" So I think it's regional.
It's a very alien-like looking thing. It's got a small stem with a baseball size harvestable item on top of it, with a lot of leaves coming off of that baseball looking. Top. It comes in a couple of different colors. It comes in a green, green, where they call white, and then a burgundy color. Burgundy takes 50 days. I think the white or the green takes like 60 days, and it's a solid, it's solid flesh inside of it.
Right. I think it tastes. I would say between like. It tastes like a turnip / cabbage.
Mm-hmm. You can pickle these. You can fry these up. Now, the interesting aspect of a kohlrabi is the leaves of the kohlrabi, which are edible, are 3 times more nutrient dense than the actual kohlrabi itself. So keep that in mind. So kohlrabi, if you've not grown it, you can start it from seed. You can get it from, you know, many nurseries have the starts, and they can get baseball, even softball size. Now, With that, the larger it gets, the more woodier it becomes. So if you can get it around the tennis ball, I know you would, you know, think, oh, the larger it grows, the more material I have to work with. However, it's not always the case. It can get woody and tough. So you want to kind of moderate the size before you harvest it. You know, tennis ball size, probably ideal on that. Next one is ground cherries. This is kind of a new one to a lot of people.
Yeah, ground cherries. I like them. You don't like them as much. But they are related to the – they're kind of a close relative to the tomatillo, and it's considered a husk tomato. But it doesn't have that very distinct tomato flavor. To me, it's more of like a sweeter dessert-type flavor, and then they have the husk on the outside. I think they're delicious.
Kind of a taste of a pineapple. To a certain distinct, and the way you harvest is they're ground cherries. They have a husk, and when they are harvested or when they're ready to harvest, they fall to the ground. So you got to be there to pick them up. Otherwise, the squirrels and the birds are going to get them before you do. So if you're new to a lot of these, like kohlrabi, you can get at the organic garden store, organic grocery store, ground cherries, farmers markets. Next one, which is celery, you can grow in your own backyard. It can be done very well. You can get the starch from your garden center. It's not going to be like you would buy at the grocery store. These are more of a loose bundle, not a tight wound bundle of celery that you can grow.
But I just want to forewarn people.
Yeah.
If you don't like celery,
Don't grow it.
Then don't grow it, but definitely don't grow this because it's like extra celery tasting celery.
Well, you buy celery from the store. Where does it come from? 1,500 miles and probably 3 to 5 days after harvest. This stuff it's just like garlic. The garlic in the store is so tainted and so weak compared to your garden grown garlic. So some things that are a little different that you may consider growing, some may be easy to find, others may be a little more of a challenge. Well, Holly, it is warming up soon. It will be spring. Spring may already be here in some parts of the country. And you want to enjoy your yard without sharing it with beetles and grubs.
Yeah, with spring just around the corner, it's time to start thinking about controlling the beetles and grubs in your garden or your yard. Japanese beetles are just around the corner.
Grub Gone can be applied to the turf, garden, or around ornamentals to lessen the impact that grubs and beetles have on you this summer. And now is the best time to start applying it. Biologically specific, targeting grubs and beetles, invaders without harming those beneficial insects that you want in your garden, such as bees, butterflies, and ladybugs.
And to be honest, it's the only non-chemical that works. You can find out more at phylumbioproducts.com. That's phylom. Bioproducts.com.
When we come back, author Jen McGinnis will be with us. You're listening to the Gardening with Joey and Holly Radio Show, a program to help your garden grow better.
Have a garden question? Give Joey and Holly a call now or anytime 24/7. Just dial 1-800-927-SHOW. If you can't get through, leave a message and they will call you back. Call now 1-800-927-SHOW.
Make watering easy. DripWorks provides quality drip irrigation supplies and equipment to gardeners just like you for all your growing needs across the U.S. and Canada. Purchase online at DripWorks.com.
Rinse kit. Pressurized water on the go. No pumping, no battery. Simply fill from your spigot or sink on the way out for up to 5 minutes of spray time. Anywhere. Live dirty. Rinse clean with Rinse Kit. Soul Brew Kombucha is founded and handcrafted in Milwaukee, 100% organic, formulated for ultimate health and enjoyment. Find out the benefits of drinking kombucha and where to purchase at mysoulbrew.com or find them on Facebook at My Soul Brew. This week's garden tip is brought to you by Yard Glider, the cart without wheels, loads without lifting, hauls more, dumps faster, built to last, and built for hard work. Perfect for homeowners, arborists, hunters, landscapers. Pull it behind an ATV, a lawnmower, or pull it yourself. Multiple sizes available at yardglider.com. That's yardglider.com. Hardening off is a process of bringing plants from indoors to outdoors in a slow way to allow the plants to get accustomed to the outdoor conditions over the course of a week, gradually working them from full shade for a few hours the first day and bringing them back inside each day during the week until they are able to stay fully outside and overnight by the end of the week. Not doing this correctly can cause your plants to get sunburned and temperature shock that can kill them. This week's garden tip was brought to you by Yard Glider. The cart without wheels, loads without lifting, hauls more, dumps faster, built to last, and built for hard work. Perfect for homeowners, arborists, hunters, landscapers. Pull it behind an ATV, a lawnmower, or pull it yourself. Multiple sizes available at yardglider.com. That's yardglider.com. Do you need to kill weeds organically or melt ice quickly? Visit TigerTorchLTD.com for more information. Deer Defeat is an all-natural repellent to keep deer, rabbits, and groundhogs away from your precious plants. Deer Defeat protects your plants day and night, dries clear, and odorless. It will not clog your sprayer. Deer Defeat works for 30 days through rain, snow, and freeze. Safe, effective, and works on rabbits. Money-back guarantee. To purchase, go to DeerDefeat.com and use code RADIO to save 10% on your order. Deer Defeat. It can't be beat. Unleash an army of predators. Call the Bug Farm, 1-800-248-BUGS. RinconVitova.com.
Wild Delight has a complete line of premium feed for wild birds and other wildlife. It contains the finest ingredients for your outdoor birds. Fill your bird feeders with a selection of Wild Delight's premium quality mixes to have a yard full of colorful birds. Wild Delight's premium mixes are made with tasty nuts and berries, and not just filler food like Milo and cracked corn. Feed the birds the nutrition they need. This keeps your feathered friends coming back year after year. Find out more at wilddelight.com.
The number one key to healthy, productive plants are the roots. Starting from seed to full-grown plants, RootMaker.com has the answer. From seed starting trays with an innovative design that air prunes the roots, creating a fabulous root system, never again will you have root-bound plants, to multiple gallon grow bag sizes to raise beds. RootMaker.com has your grow needs covered. Visit RootMaker.com. Use coupon code RADIO21 and get 15% off your entire order. Straw bale gardening is all the rage. Get your bale started easily with the Bale Buster Straw Bale Conditioning Formula. This is the only product that has been specifically formulated for use in straw bale gardening. Each unit contains 250 million colony-forming units of trichoderma, fungi, and Bacillus bacteria, in addition to the fertilizer itself, produces fantastic results with a bountiful production of vegetable crops. Start with the best to get the best, traditional or organic formula. Take the guesswork out of conditioning your straw bale. Go to balebuster.com to find out more. How would you like to be able to fertilize, aerate, and dethatch your lawn using just one product and at the same time improve the soil and root development? Introducing Lawn Force 5, a five-way lawn care kit in a bottle. Lawn Force 5 gives you a lush and healthy lawn you can be proud of, and it takes away the expense of hard work that comes with mechanically aerating and dethatching the lawn. Visit our friends at naturslawn.com to find out more about the amazing Lawn Force 5 product. That's naturslawn.com. Use discount code GARDEN-TALK for 10% off your order. The Gardening with Joey and Holly radio show is brought to you by the following: Blue Ribbon Organics, Naturally Green Products, Ironwood Tool Company, Easy Step Products, Rinse Kit, Soul Brew Kombucha, Wild Delight, Rincon Vitova, Chip Drop, BaleBuster.com. Find all sponsors at the WisconsinVegetableGardener.com and thank them for their support. Welcome back to the Gardening with Joey and Holly radio show. Author Jen McGinnis will be moments away, but first, do you have ants? Not in your garden. We're talking in your house, in your basement, in your bathroom like we do. Well, if you do, Rescue has the product to get them out of your home.
Yeah, Rescue Ant Baits. Ant colonies become noticeable around the house starting in spring. They seek food and moisture sources to feed their colonies, and once they establish that source, they lay pheromone trails for other ants to follow. So you can use the Rescue Ant Bait Stations, and then ants will transport the bait back to the colony, killing the ants at the source. The ants look for sugars to feed their workers and proteins to feed the queen and larvae. So Rescue Ant Baits use both protein and sugar for a faster and more complete colony kill. Unlike other ant baits that leak and spoil bait on your floor, Rescue Ant Baits are spill-proof and mess-free. They're child-resistant and safe to use around the home. Better bait, no mess, and child-resistant. Rescue Ant Baits have it all. Like all Rescue products, their ant baits are made in the USA. Go to rescue.com for where to buy. That's rescue.com for where to buy.
Holly, let's go to the hotline and bring in our guest for this week.
Jennifer McGinnis, a.k.a. Frau Zinni, is a blogger, photographer, writer, and author who enjoys gardening of all kinds. Her new book, Micro Food Gardening, will be available April 13th. Welcome to the program.
Thank you so much for having me on your show today.
Well, thank you for taking time out of your day, not only to join Holly and myself, but enlighten all of us and our listeners across the country with your knowledge.
Thanks. I'll do my best.
So let's start with, what is micro food gardening?
Sure. Well, great question. Micro food gardening focuses on plants to stay very compact. So you'll be able to grow edibles even if you only have a front porch, window box, or windowsill. It's fun to select petite varieties of plants to grow and choosing container options to grow them in. So generally speaking, it's any edible plant that is approximately 18 inches or 46 centimeters or smaller when the plant has reached harvest size. Some plants, such as vines, might grow a little larger, but they still produce mini-sized fruits. And another bonus is that these dwarf plants often reach harvest size faster.
So we're talking about specifically created by nature or by a laboratory size plants, not necessarily a full-grown plant that you're able to control into a smaller size?
It could be both, because okay. You can grow like the salad greens and keep them small as baby greens, you know, and not let them actually advance to a larger size of like a head of lettuce. But there's also, like you mentioned, there's a lot of plant breeders who have made different varieties for the home gardener that are going to stay dwarf and small.
Great. Now, your new book, Microfood Gardening, comes out soon, April 13th. Can you tell us about an interesting part of it, something to intrigue our listeners?
Sure. Well, it's a project-based book that includes 30 do-it-yourself planter ideas to grow micro edibles in, along with growing tips for success. And I had a lot of fun coming up with the different projects that feature micro edibles, especially the ones that repurpose a container in some way to make it into a gardening container. One of the ones I really enjoyed making was this project called the Strawberry Cake Stand, which repurposes cake pans that you would normally, you know, bake a cake in. But instead, you add drainage to them, and you're able to grow alpine strawberry plants in them. And then you arrange them using a metal rod so that they look like a stacked wedding cake would. But, you know, there's no frosting involved. But it makes a nice table centerpiece, and it grows in a very compact space, and you get those delicious little alpine strawberries as a result.
Well, the neat thing about your book is in each project, you say, there's a little box that says what you'll need. And you not only describe what it is in metric, but also in standard measurement, so there's no confusion for anybody who may be able to do these projects in their home.
Yeah, I try to make it as approachable for everyone. And, you know, a few years ago, I didn't feel comfortable even using a drill, like a power drill, around the house. And I've just become a little bit more comfortable with it all. And I realize like how many things can be repurposed and used for planting containers. And now I feel like, you know, I see something, if it doesn't have a drainage hole, I'm like, let's put it in there.
That's funny. So we've been putting up more bird feeders around the outside of our home. You like to attract songbirds. What are some tips to attract them to your garden or your yard?
So I really like to feed the birds in the winter. I really enjoy watching them, but to keep them in the garden all year long, I try to plant some native plants that are also going to provide them food on the other part of the season. And that would be plants that, you know, attract insects, which I think a lot of people think, oh no, I don't want those in my garden, but they're good because they will feed the baby birds. I think it's something like 6,000 or 9,000 caterpillars to raise a clutch of chickadees, according to Doug Tallamy. He's the expert on all of that. But if you don't use pesticides and you plant these plants that will attract the insects, produce seeds and berries in the fall, you'll encourage a habitat where they will be more likely to nest in your garden and stick around.
Fantastic. So we are talking with Jennifer McGinnis, a.k.a. Frau Zinni, a blogger, photographer, writer, author, and a new book coming out, Microfood Gardening. So you don't have a lot of full sun in your yard. What do you like to grow minimal light? And how do you best utilize your areas with full sun? It sounds like you're quite creative with the space you have.
I try to be. So for minimal light, I really defer to leafy green crops. They tend to work really well for part sun, part shade, especially in the summer heat. You can, you know, grow those in the shadow of something taller in your garden. And as I mentioned earlier, the baby greens such as lettuce and kale, they can be grown in spots with a bit more shade, and, you know, they can be used a lot of the projects in the book. And the nice thing about them is that they reach harvest size quickly. Like it's about 20, 25 days and you can start harvesting those baby greens. So you can grow multiple versions of them in different containers. So that way you have more to choose from. So you're not just wiping out your crop when you're trying to do a salad for 1 week, you know?
Right.
And then for my full sun areas, they're actually in and along my driveway. So I had to get really creative about growing edibles in containers and grow bags. And a lot of, like a good portion of my driveway becomes my container garden in late spring through late fall. So, you know, luckily our driveway's long enough to fit like three cars. And I would say at least one full car is like car length is just containers. and I use that space to grow a variety of edibles, especially tomatoes in that spot.
Well, gardeners are much like farmers. If there's a challenge, they're going to figure out how to make the project work. And you were able to do that with the figuring out the balance between where the good light was and where the minimum light was, and was able to maximize the potential that both of them provided you.
It's really about seeing what you have to work with and evaluating that space and figuring out what would meet those needs.
And we always encourage new gardeners or wannabe gardeners or people who think they can't garden, whether you have a balcony, a window, if you have a windowsill, you can garden something. And
it, exactly.
Yeah. And it works very well. And you've got some projects in which can be done to grow herbs in mason jars, basically in your window. If you've got a good sunny spot, it will work very well.
Yeah, definitely. There's one project, the omelet combo, which definitely uses the mason jars, and you can keep that even on a well-lit countertop. And then you'd have that at the ready. So when you are ready to make your, you know, breakfast omelets, you'll be able to go over and take off some herbs or some baby greens and add them right to your meal.
And not have to pay $6 for a frig of basil from the grocery store. And you got it right there that you've grown yourself.
Yeah, exactly.
So you raise monarch butterflies and even visit where they overwinter. We'd love to hear more about you raising them. And is this a huge project? Is this something that many people can do? What can you share with us?
Sure. So it's definitely fun. It's definitely fulfilling, but it is a lot of work if you take a lot of them in. So in my area, I'm in the Northeast in Connecticut. And for like around late August, early September is when we have the super generation of monarchs start to become caterpillars. And those are the ones that they believe, due to temperature cues and the shortened daylight, are the ones that can fly to Mexico and live for up to 8 months instead of their parents and grandparents that only live for a few weeks after they lay eggs. So at that time, I really start, you know, looking for them on the milkweed. As I said before, I don't use pesticides, so that's key as well. I bring them inside to protect them from predators because they can be, you know, attacked by wasps or sometimes birds. So I bring them inside. I keep them in containers, and I clean those containers every day with fresh paper towels or fresh milkweed or both. The bigger they get, the more messier they get, so you just have to, like, stay on top of it. And then you know, you don't want them to be overcrowded either. So you want to make sure you either have like a really big butterfly, netted hamper container or different like little containers. Like, if you go to the pet store, you know, those little plastic ones, you can put, them in there, but you would need to space them out a bit more. So then, you know, I keep them in there, I keep them clean, and then they eventually turn into chrysalises, and then it's, you know, waiting for them to emerge. And that's the best part, is when you bring them outside and you see them fly away. And it's so great for kids to see it too, for the first time, because I mean, it's magical as an adult, but when you're a child, it's even cooler, I think.
So you're looking at a couple of months project with this, correct?
Yeah, I really start to gear up in August, and then I would say they've pretty much all finished out by the end of September.
Okay. So it's not an overwinter. It's a short time frame. You're able to see the creation of the monarch, and then you let them go and go back into nature.
Right. And I actually do have other chrysalises that I'm overwintering in my garage right now. They're for the black swallowtail caterpillars. So they're out there right now, so they don't come out too early. They're, you know, with the colder temps, but they'll start to emerge probably like late April, early May, and then I'll release them as well.
That's amazing. Well, we've enjoyed our time with you. How can our listeners find out more about you?
Well, you can always find me over at my garden blog, which is frauzinni.com. And I'm on Instagram and Facebook as frauzinni as well. And I'm on Twitter as Jen M Gardens. That one came first, so, you know.
Right.
Why ruin a good thing, right?
Well, Jen, we greatly appreciate you taking time for Holly, myself, and all of our listeners in order to enlighten us about micro gardening and what you can do with a little space and some creativity in your book.
Thank you so much for having me on your show today.
Absolutely. And when we come back, it's all going to be about your garden questions, our garden answers. You're listening to the Gardening with Joey and Holly radio show.
Got a question for Joey and Holly? Send it via email anytime to gardentalkradio@gmail.com.
I love the Gardening with Joey and Holly radio show. And like you, we've all struggled to find a good plant support system that can last for more than a season or two and be easily stored. But now there is. Easy Step Products manufactures a unique, multifunctional, multipurpose plant support system. It's designed for tomato plants, but it's useful for any vegetable or flowering plants you grow. This is like having a 24/7 bodyguard for your plants. The 60-inch heavy-duty Easy Step End Post and Easy Rings are overbuilt by design, so that when you combine the two together, they make the perfect plant support on the market. We've never seen anything like it. We love that you can add it during the growth cycle without damaging the plant. It's easy to adjust them up or down. They store easily. They even have a no-hassle 10-year warranty. Order now and receive the third plant support absolutely free with purchase of a kit, and use promo code Joey123. Buy yours today at EasyStepProduct.com or visit the dealer locator for the closest retailer near you.
ShipDrop is a website you can sign up for free wood chip mulch delivery right to your door for free. ShipDrop connects homeowners and gardeners with tree services who are trying to get rid of their wood chips. You can also sign up to get free logs and firewood. Go to ShipDrop.com to learn more and sign up for a free account.
Dig planting holes from a comfortable standing position. Step, twist, pull, and plant. Visit ProPlugger.com. Protect your plants against damage with a 3-in-1 plant guard and special blend fertilizer. Visit ivyorganics.com.
Chapin has the tools to help you this season. We have a wide range of sprayers to help you control pests, weeds, and fertilize your plants. From handheld to ATV sprayers, we have it all. Use our broadcast spreader to feed and seed your green spaces. Water and feed at the same time with our fertilizer injectors. Find Chapin equipment at major home improvement and hardware stores and online at ChapinMFG.com. Chapin, cover more ground. If you could double the life of your raised bed boxes by sealing the wood with a clear non-toxic wood preservative, would you? Well, now you can with a clear, penetrating product called Internal Wood Stabilizer. It's 100% non-toxic and easy to apply. Seal your untreated wood surfaces, even chicken coops, by spraying on Internal Wood Stabilizer. It's invisible, seals the wood from the inside out, and never wears off. Recommended by organic gardening experts, Internal Wood Stabilizer. Check it out at TimberProCoatingsUSA.com. We know that you appreciate the value of a beautifully landscaped yard, but tackling such a project yourself can seem way too complicated, right? Bloomin' Easy Plants are the answer. Their plants are low maintenance and offer exceptional beauty and color for your yard. Plus, they offer free seasonal care reminders with simple how-to videos tailored to the plants that you choose. With Bloomin' Easy on your side, creating the yard that you've always wanted becomes as easy as plant, water, and relax. Check them out at your local garden center or by visiting BloominEasyPlants.com.
Pomona's Universal Pectin is a high-quality pectin that gels reliably with low amounts of any sweetener. If you're trying to reduce the amount of sugar in your diet, you'll love Pomona's Universal Pectin. Now you can make healthy homemade jams and jellies sweetened to your taste. You can use sugar or honey to sweeten. Pomona's Universal Pectin keeps indefinitely when stored in an airtight container. Easy to use, versatile, and comes with directions and recipes in every box. Find out more and where to buy at PomonaPectin.com. Also available at natural food stores and online.
With the right tools, plant maintenance is easy and more effective. Ironwood Tool Company has the right tools for your project. From pruners to loppers to saws and shears and cleanup tools, get the right tool for this season, making your job much easier. Find them all at ironwoodtools.com. The Gardening with Joey and Holly radio show is brought to you by the following: Pro Plugger, Dripworks, Walton's Incorporated, Tree Diaper, Janie's Mill, Phylum Bioproducts, Chapin Manufacturing Incorporated, Nature's Lawn and Garden Incorporated, Deer Defeat, Dr. Jim's, Root Maker. Find all sponsors at thewisconsinvegetablegardener.com and thank them for their support. Welcome back to the Gardening with Joey and Holly radio show. Happy you're with us today for the program. If you've got a question, you can submit it to gardentalkradio@gmail.com. That's gardentalkradio@gmail.com. If you'd much rather talk to us, you can do that by jamming your fingers in the phone and dialing us up at 1-800-927-SHOW, 1-800-927-SHOW, and leave a message if we can't get to you, and we will get the answer to your problem solved. All right, let's go over to Ilona, listening to us on WAAM 1600 AM and 92.7 FM out of Ann Arbor, Michigan. She writes, I have a trumpet vine, not sure if I need to cut it down to the ground or not. One year I did, and it grew great over the arbor, but had only a few flowers. This last fall, I cut back a few and left most of the vine intact, but the vine looks and sounds like a hollow straw this spring. Are the buds going to form on existing vines or form a new vine from the ground up? What should I do? Thank you.
Sure. So this is a process that takes a few seasons or even a couple years. In the spring, when the new growth begins, you select several of the strongest shoots and you train them to grow up the supporting trellis, and then the rest you cut down to the ground. And then once a framework of several strong shoots extends over the trellis or the space, a process that this will take over many growing seasons, the trumpet vine pruning becomes an annual affair in the spring after all danger of the frost has passed. And then you prune off all the lateral shoots to within three buds of the framework of the vines. So you have to kind of gauge that. And it's also vital to deadhead the flowers throughout the growing season. When you do that consistently, it's going to help kind of make it more beautiful and plentiful.
It keeps putting out more flowers.
Yeah.
And that's kind of true with many flowers. You deadhead them. Some of them deadhead themselves, but it based on the variety and species of it, if you trim it back, it will stimulate more growth. And kind of similar on the vegetables. As long as you keep harvesting beans, they'll produce cucumbers, tomatoes, et cetera, et cetera. Okay, Holly, let's go over to Lisa here. Lisa writes in via email, I enjoy the segment on growing squash. This was something we covered 2 weeks ago on the program. You can catch the replay on our website and in your favorite podcast platform. I learned so much from you, too. You mentioned waiting for planting zucchini to avoid the larva in the stem from the squash vine borer. I have had this problem in the past. When is the safest time to plant to not have this issue? I live in the Madison, Wisconsin area.
Sure. So thank you for your question. And in Wisconsin, squash vine borers overwinter, and they emerge in late June and early July. Zucchini takes about 45 to 55 days to harvest, so you can plant your seeds in mid-July, and then you will have a fall harvest.
Right. Now, you can also plant early and then fight it or cover it, but once you get past that egg-laying stage, I mean, you may have to wait, obviously, for fall, or you could do a couple of successions of planting and play that game as well. So something to keep in mind there. All right, Dixie writes in and asks, no one has ever answered this question for me. Why is it called blanching? Referring to, like, if you're blanching leeks or kale or whatever in the kitchen. I know what blanching is and how to do it, but I don't know why it's called blanching. The word blanching means white or whitened, which doesn't fit into the vegetable processing of blanching vegetables. Actually helps to retain the bright colors of the vegetables. So why is it called blanching, Holly?
Sure. So this is a different type of blanching, different meaning for the word. And the USDA calls it blanching because what happens is that those enzymes in those fruits and vegetables specifically, continue to grow and mature. Even if you put that vegetable in the fridge or like a root cellar or whatever. So when you blanch it, you're stopping the enzyme process and right in its tracks. And then when you freeze it, it stops it even more. But then it allows that vegetable to stay crisp and fresh.
As fresh as possible, yeah.
As fresh as possible. So it's just a different type of meaning of the word. I don't know why, but that's what the USDA has stated on their website.
Okay. So with that, we're out of time, and we thank you for yours. Did you miss any portion of this show, or you want to revisit it? You can do that in its entirety by going to the WisconsinVegetableGardener.com website and clicking on the Season 5 tab at the top of the page. Or you can send us an email at gardentalkradio@gmail.com, and we will send you the link. You can check out past shows and garden videos on that website, the WisconsinVegetableGardener.com, and you can check out past seasons. Tune in next week when we'll be covering the topics of maximizing your garden to the fullest potential. Also, life below the soil. Our guest will be author Tasha Greer, and we'll be answering your garden questions. It's all next week. So until then, for
Holly Baird,
I'm Joy Baird, and we will see you in the garden.